Okay, we'll get back over into Galatians more or less a little bit. And I was last week, as we were considering the matters, as Paul said here, told us of our attitude, our relationships, the way we deal with people. And we had in the past looked at all the individual words involved there when he says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, the things that ought not be in the Christian's life. And he spoke of fleshly things, of physical things, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. And then he spoke again in the relationships and how we ought to be and deal with people. Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders. And those, after we looked at them individually, took them as a whole and said, you know, how does this relate how we should deal with people? And some folks take Scripture out of context, take the Lord out of context, and say, well, you should just be nice to everybody. You know, you should just always say good things. You should never say anything bad about anybody. Well, obviously, that's not what Paul's telling us here, because we saw at the beginning of the book here, he those false teachers that were there, he said, let them be accursed. And he even stood up to Peter and put his finger in his face and said, you're to be blamed. You've done wrong. And we need grace to deal with folks, but we also need courage and strength to speak out. And as I was closing up this section last week, I started, I wanted to talk a little bit about a sermon I'd seen from an old acquaintance, Brother J.F. Poole, who was pastor of the Welsh Tract Baptist Church. And he passed away in 2019. But that church was one of the first Baptist churches here on the soils of America. And they came over as church to these shores. And he had preached this sermon. He said, sometimes I think people may be changing. He said, I felt a little ashamed at the severe manner that, you know, he dealt with the enemies of truth. But maybe we shouldn't be so ashamed of that. And he reviewed certain passages of Scripture, and I won't go into all the various Scriptures he specifically points out, but he showed out how in Scripture these evildoers, good Christian men and preachers, our Lord Himself, spoke out against these evildoers. And he began with several verses that use such terms as brute beasts. And that speaks of a dangerous beast. You know, it wasn't like a puppy dog or a kitty cat. These were brute beasts. Dangerous. He used the term filthy dreamers. I remember somebody talking about I have a dream one time. I can't remember who that was. But he speaks of how the Scriptures speak of filthy dreamers, of cursed children, of mockers. The Apostle Peter in 2 Peter 2 wrote, and I'll just, verses 10 through 22, I'm not going to read them all, I'm just extracting from that. In verse 12 he said, but these are natural brute beasts. They're dangerous. Made to be taken and destroyed. Speak evil of things that they understand not. Wow. Yeah. And shall utterly perish in their own corruption. He goes on to call them cursed children. You know, God knows these things, and He's created them to their own destruction, to be used to His glory, just like He raised up Pharaoh. You know, that His name might be magnified. Jude wrote in his little epistle, he used the term of them of filthy dreamers. He said, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, the sovereignty of God, and speak evil of dignities. Let me set him a little bit more in context there, because it kind of applies to our day. But at, beginning in verse 1, Jude said, "For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation." Folks, I don't like that. You know, I'm going to give God an out. I'm going to make this a... No. God is sovereign. Not only did he elect his chosen children, he reprobated the condemned. Well, folks don't like that. So I'm all like, everybody gets a chance. I don't want a chance. If I had only a chance, I would blow it. I would be condemned forever. Chance won't do me any good. Jude says, these evil men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Didn't catch God by surprise. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord and our Lord Jesus Christ. How can you not speak out against such? How can you join with them as supposedly Christian brother, because they call themselves Christian, but deny every tenet of the Christian faith? He says, "I'll put you in remembrance," though he once knew this, "how that the Lord, having saved the people out of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he reserved in everlasting chains under darkness to the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah." Well, you know, we're supposed to embrace that now. God's kind of changed his mind about he destroyed those cities, but he's changed his mind about that now. Now it's okay. You know, we want to be big-hearted, and it, you can't help who you love. Isn't that what they say? "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication." Yeah, sometimes some Baptists like us are really tough on the Sodomites, but they don't speak out against fornication. God's not too up on that either. We already studied through that portion of Scripture. It's still wrong. It's still sin. Doesn't matter. Everybody's doing it. Everybody embraces it. "Given over to fornication and going after strange flesh." Sometimes I used to read that and say, I wonder what that's talking about. I mean, I understood sodomy and stuff, but it's gotten worse than that, hasn't it? Going after strange flesh. And yet, you know, they condemn you if you say it's unnatural. Well, God says it's unnatural. God says they're going after strange flesh. "Are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." He brought fire and brimstone on them, but it didn't end when they died. Oh, folks don't like that either. But it's the truth. "And there, for the grace of God, go you and I." It's only God's sovereignty that intercede. And then when Jude gets the portion I read there, he said, "Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh." Goes on down in verse 10 again, but he said, "But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves." There's no end to their corruption. Depravity will find a way. And I'm not going to read all. I'll skip down to verse 18 there in Jude when he says, "How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time." The Lord told us, right? I have to admit, it still kind of upsets me every day. But the Lord told me that they told you there would be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These are pretty strong words. Jude's not kumbayaing very much, is he? Walking after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves. Sensual. Not having, or having not the Spirit. These aren't good Christian folk, Jude says. You better recognize that. Another term that Brother Poole brought up from the Scriptures, the term of whited sepulchers. You know, the Lord spoke to His enemies. The religious leaders of His day, you know, they were the leaders of the Jews. Maybe He should have been kumbaya with them. But He didn't. In fact, He condemned them more than He did the harlots and the tax collectors. And it's hard to realize that. But anyway, there's Lord, you can save a tax collector, you know, like Zacchaeus and Matthew. The Lord, here in Matthew 23, and verses 5 through 39, I'm not going to read them all. But down in, pick up at verse, maybe 24. He says, "Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel." You know, they had all their little rules and regulations that they'd made up. And they strained at these gnats, but they swallowed the camel when it came to obeying the revealed word of God and to understanding the underlying truths. You strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Well, it looks nice on the outside, doesn't it? You know, it looks appealing almost attractive. That's the way they try to make all these perverted things, these damnable things. That's how they try to make them on the television and all, right? Just seems attractive. Seems appealing to most folks. I have to admit, I don't find much of it that way. And then he says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness." You bet, the whited sepulchre, they take the tomb and paint it up nice and beautiful. I can't ever read this verse without thinking we lived in Okinawa. We lived out in Ishikawa. And right behind us was an Okinawan cemetery. And I mean, the tombs themselves might be maybe half as big as this room. And then the rest of it, extending the rest of the room, and sometimes maybe more, was like a flat concrete entryway almost. And they were painted all night. They looked like big swimming pools. If you didn't know any better, you would think it looked like an American swimming pool, except I don't know where the water and all went, but they were painted up like that. And then once a year they had Obon, and they would fill the streets with these Obon dancers by families. And they would go down to these tombs. Got pictures of Heather when she's a little towhead sitting there on one of those tombs, you know, dangling her feet. But these family groups, Obon dancers, are dressed up all kind of elaborate, sort of like the Japanese kabuki sort of things, except it's a little bit different. But all drums and other manner of instrument, they go down there to the tombs, and they would invite the spirits of their loved ones out to come around and dance with in the street with them that night. And then when it was all over, they would go back and they'd say, okay, you all go back in there now. You know, we don't want you sticking around. You all go back in there now. These false doctors, these false teachings. The same people, even when we were there, I'm sure it's more now, you know, they got all involved in American paganism too. You could walk down the street in Ishikawa and they were selling Christmas trees. These people had no clue about it. Of course, most folks today don't in America either. But they celebrating Christmas and all these other things too. It was just another pagan thing to add to all their festivities. The Lord says, you know, that's what you Pharisees are. You make it look all nice and appealing on the outside, but there's dead people in there. The dead people in there. And dead people stink. And they're unclean. And the Lord didn't hesitate to point out and to speak to these religious leaders of his day. Another couple terms that evil men and seducers. Paul wrote to young Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 13. He said, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I think Paul knew a thing or two, because it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit, because he was moved by the Holy Spirit to write those things. But he knew a thing or two. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. So what's going to get better? Yeah, not so much. Not till the Lord comes back. And I don't want to get... And I understand... less about eschatology than I did when I graduated from seminary. I knew everything then. I don't know everything now. But I still can't comprehend these folks at post-millennialists. It's like, you know, we're going to usher in the millennium. Things are going to get worse, or better and better, and the Lord's church is going to overcome. And that's not what I see the scriptures talking about. We need to brace ourselves and prepare ourselves. Yes, the Lord's church is triumphant, but in this day and age, until he comes back, Paul says, you watch out, Timothy. Evil men and seducers, deceiving and being deceived. I mean, that kind of describes our whole political system, our whole media system, and unfortunately, most of our religious system. Evil men and seducers, waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Paul writes to the saints in Philippi in Philippians 3, beginning in verse 18. He says, for many walk of whom I told you often. Paul warned about these things. He didn't keep quiet against the evil. Now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. You know, they just seek after the basest of lusts. You know, their God is their belly, whatever they desire, whatever they want. I could go with that a little ways, but I think Christians need to be careful that we don't let our God be our belly. And some folks, it almost looks like that. That's another thing you can't talk about. But, you know, we ought to honor our bodies that were given us by God and seek to take care of them. And not that I'm great about that myself, but, you know, we ought to. Enemies of the cross. In Philippians 3, 2, Paul again speaks of these folks. He says, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. And again, you're not talking about Bo there, but the Jews didn't have a very high idea generally of the dogs, and most of them were mutts in the street, running wild and dangerous beasts even. Paul says, beware dogs. I read somebody this week wrote an article about the first time he'd had to draw his gun. And he was out taking a walk. He said he left his house to go take a walk, and then he remembered he didn't have his gun. And he didn't feel good about that, so he went back home and got his gun. And I think that's a good thing to do, you know. And he's out there, and he has two dogs that he'd known they were there. He'd seen them before, and he'd always been leery of them. Somehow, somebody opened the door, and out comes this pit bull and something else. And he drew his gun. He said, I kept it down to the ground. And the woman at the house was all upset. You know, well, they're puppies and whatever. Yeah, okay, if that dog comes after me, I'm going to shoot it. And eventually she got it under control, and he called the cops, which is not a good idea usually, but you figure she was probably going to call the cops, so maybe you should have been there first. I don't know. Beware, that's the kind of dogs that Paul's talking about. beware of dogs. Beware of evildoers. Beware of the concision. That's kind of interesting, too, when I think about it. Paul uses this term sometimes, and the concision, he usually spoke about, you know, beware of the circumcision, you know, and he was speaking of not necessarily a physical act there, but the Jews and who were trying to add the Jewish religion and teaching to the cross of Christ and to the faith of Christ. But then sometimes Paul would use this word concision, which really speaks of a mutilation. They're not really circumcised. They're mutilated. And then you think about what people are doing to themselves here in America today and parading it before the whole world on Jeopardy and every place else. And some of them I don't know anymore. I mean, like this Bruce Jenner, what he still is or has or doesn't have or what he's... But some of them just totally mutilate themselves. And, of course, our wonderful medical profession goes along with it. That ought to be a little bit of a warning to you. Just saying. Paul says, beware of the mutilators. Beware of the concision. Okay. I thought I'd get further than that, but I didn't. But we'll pick up on some more of that. And then we'll eventually get on, and I'm kind of working on some things now. I was ready to go on today if need be. The next thing Paul brings up is drunkenness. And I thought, well, I just kind of pass over it. Brother Gil does. He says, why should I have to mention this to Christians? But, you know, we live in a confusing time again, and I'm probably going to get a little bit more into alcohol and social drink and some of these other things that I think that we ought to be aware of and address, and folks are confused about. And some folks are confused about because they want to be confused about it. Really. And this whole sexual perversion thing, too. It's like they want to be confused. They have no desire to know the truth. And Paul says, beware the concision. And then in Matthew 7, and we'll pick up there, Lord willing, next week, the Lord talks about ravening wolves. Worse than even those mad, dangerous, ravening wolves. Evil men waxing worse and worse. But you know what? He's still sovereign. He's on his throne. He's going to take care of his people. We can trust in him. And by his grace, we can stand up and speak out. Like Jude and Paul and Peter, John the Baptist, our Lord. He can go on. And I pray we might have the grace to be who and what the Lord would have us to, and to glorify him. We'll take our hymnals this morning and turn to page number 306, God's Everlasting Love. And if you like, you can stand as we sing this out this morning. 306, God's Everlasting Love. Thank you. Father, we thank you for this day. Privilege to gather together, and or the reason we gather together, or the atonement of our Savior, the purchase of His people, that everlasting love shed abroad upon your people before they were. Lord, we're no better than the wicked world about us. Or what we are by your grace. There, but for the grace of God, go we. But Lord, as you've brought us to yourself, as you've quickened us, as you've made us your own, Father, we become more cognizant of the evil that abounds, of the evil men that wax worse and worse. Father, I pray for courage and strength to stand up and speak the truth. Lord, to follow the example of the apostles, John the Baptist, Lord, and above all of yourself. Lord, help us to be that people you have us to be, the people you can use. Lord, I pray you be with each one as we leave here. Use us through this week to your glory. Be with those of our friends and brethren that need your healing, those that need your comfort. Thank the Lord for the arrival of the new Massey baby. And Lord, we thank of other young folks that have had recent additions and are raising young children. Father, in these increasingly evil and difficult times, we know that your grace is sufficient. We pray especially your hand upon them, that you might sustain and strengthen them. Thank you, Lord, again for your everlasting love. Thank you for our Savior. Thank you, Lord, for the work of the Spirit that gave us life, brought us to hear and embrace the gospel of our salvation. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.